Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. I'm your Tuesday host, Scott Burton, and I have just been joined by a massive crew of actors, producers, directors from Theater at Latitude 58. Welcome, everyone.
Hello, hello. We are Theater at Latitude 58, and we have a fun, fantastic spring season that is here in Juno. We have three shows going on. It is The Miracle Worker, and Sadako's A Thousand Cranes, and Danger the Dogyard Cat.
All right. I can't wait to hear about those. And that's Sarah Everett. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Nice to see you. You may recognize Sarah's voice, not only from her acting, but her show on KRNN.
That's right.
So nice to have you. And who else do we have here today? Folks want to introduce themselves?
I'm Janice Hurley. I'm the guest director for Danger the Dogyard Cat.
And I'm Karen Allen, and I'm the guest director of The Miracle Worker.
I'm Taylor Simpson, and I'm an actor.
I'm Nara Khan, and I'm also an actor.
All right, I think we got everyone. And Sarah, what's your capacity with this group?
I am the theater associate. I work with all three of the shows, and I help represent the theater with marketing and business. I am also an actor. I am performing as Captain Arthur Keller in The Miracle Worker. And I'm running sound and music for the other two shows.
You wear a few different hats, huh?
Yes. It's very fun, though.
And can someone give us a background on the theater? I don't know much about it. When did it begin, and what's your modus operandi, if you will?
Well, we were founded in January of 2012, and we're a family theater. And that means that we have had performing with us actors from under a year to over 70.
Wow.
And sometimes whole families together, sometimes kids, sometimes their parents. And we work together to provide quality educational theater for everyone.
Okay. And where do you usually operate from?
Well, at the moment, we're rehearsing in a space at the Nugget Mall.
Okay.
And we have performed above Juno Urgent and Family Care a couple of times. We have performed on the Thunder Mountain High School stage a couple of times. And this season will be our second season in McFeeters Hall for the spring.
Okay, so you're downtown here.
Yeah, one thing I really enjoy about Theater at Latitude 58, it is very inclusive. You can have adults and children act together, which is really a very unique experience, actually, in the theater world. And the theater is family-oriented, and it's fun, and we are like a big family, but we include everyone, and it's just very rewarding.
All right, and Taylor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about what you do with the theater.
I'm in a lot of plays. Mainly I just act.
Okay. All right. And Nara, how about you?
Well, I've been in two plays, The Seussical and Danger the Dogyard Cat and A Thousand Cranes, and I just act too.
Okay. What do you two like most about being associated with the theater?
It's Taylor, and it's just really fun to hang out with everyone there.
Yeah, I just love... Oh, it's Nara, and I just love acting.
Okay. Sounds like you have a nice sense of community over there. And I like the inclusion, the all-ages things as well.
Yeah, it really is very nice.
Okay, so you have three shows coming up, but two of them go together. Who can tell me about that?
Janice, why don't you talk a bit about that?
Yes. As Karen mentioned, we're into education,
okay.
Theater arts education for all age levels, and we are very inclusive. And one of our shows will include very young children, I'm saying ages 4, 5, and 6. We call them the Littles, with a lot of love in our hearts when we say that. And they will open the shows when we have Danger and Sadako on the same evenings and afternoons. We'll open with our Littles, and then we'll present our story ballet, Danger the Dogyard Cat, and then we will finish that show with Sadako. And then on the other evenings, we will have Miracle Worker. That's a very iconic American play, and we felt that it needed its own time and its own venue. It has a much more adult and serious theme, although, of course, Sadako and the Thousand Cranes is very serious as well.
And for folks that haven't seen or heard of these plays, can someone give us a little bit about what each is about?
Well, I'll briefly tell you about Danger, because I'm directing Danger. This is Janice again.
Okay.
And I love this story. This is from Alaska Children's Literature. The story is about Libby Riddles, who is the first woman in Alaska who actually won the Iditarod in 1985. She used to go to the dog pounds in Nome and other shelters and find pets, mainly sled dogs. But in her own life in the 1980s, she found a feisty cat at the Nome dog pound and did adopt the cat and did name him Danger. And in the process of her life as a musher and having this cat in the dog yard, she got together with her friends Shelley Gill and Shannon Cartwright. Shelley Gill is a famous children's author, and Shannon Cartwright works with her a great deal as an illustrator, and they created this book with Libby based on Danger, but it is about Danger dreaming that he moves into the dog yard and leads the dogs through the Iditarod, and of course they win the Iditarod. So it's a dream. It's a fantasy story. It's a beautiful story. It's fun. And I spoke with Libby and with Shannon Cartwright on the phone and actually emailed Libby and Shelley and got their blessing and permission to create this wonderful story into a ballet. So we've created it with rhyming lyrics and music and dancing, a little bit of dialogue in there.
Wow, that sounds fun.
So that's Danger. It's a new production.
Okay.
I'll tell you guys briefly about Sadako's A Thousand Cranes, which is directed by Cinnamon Simpson, who is the artistic director and really the leader of this theater. It is her vision, and it's a really good one. And Sadako's A Thousand Cranes is the story I'm sure some people know of. It's originally an illustrated book about a Japanese girl from post-World War II period, and she died of leukemia from the atom bomb in the 1940s and 50s, and it's really a beautiful story about hope and encouraging people to promote peace after violence. And so this little play that we've put together is her story about how her life, as young as she was, inspired people in her city, Hiroshima, in Japan. And she endeavored to make 1,000 cranes before she passed away from leukemia. And it's really a story of inspiration for both not only Japanese people and their history, but the entire world, that no matter what happens in our world, that there's always a promotion of hope, that these things, these violent acts, don't have to repeat themselves. So it's really a very beautiful story and well-written.
And that one plays in conjunction with Danger,
That's
right?
That's correct, yes.
And they play together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And The Miracle Worker, who wants to talk about that?
The Miracle Worker, this is Karen, is William Gibson's classic play. It opened on Broadway in 1959, starring Anne Bancroft and Patty Duke, and won the Tony for that. There's a classic film which is based off of the script. And it is the story of Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan. And it is a beautifully, beautifully written script. It has incredible writing and beautiful language. And we have an outstanding cast ranging from age 9 to somewhere over 40, and we don't confess to that. In addition to beautiful language and a huge roller coaster of raw emotions, we also have the iconic breakfast table fight, which involves flying furniture, 300 flying spoons, small people throwing big people around. It's
wow.
A pretty astounding little thing. And it is a marvelous play about resurrection and about human beings fighting to live and to communicate no matter what.
Okay. Taylor, what parts do you play in any of these plays?
I'm Taylor, and in Sadako, I play actor Yellow, and in Danger, I play one of the sled dogs.
Oh, fun. And Nara, how about you?
Hi, it's Nara, and in Danger the Dogyard Cat, I play a sled dog, and in A Thousand Cranes, I'm a spirit, Miss Watanabe. I'm also a school child, and then finally in A Thousand Cranes, I'm also a nurse doctor.
Wow, lots of parts, lots of lines to remember.
Mm-hmm.
The part, playing the dog, what are the challenges you found with that? How do you play dog on stage effectively?
It's Nara, and it's kind of like Well, we're kind of human dogs. We stand in the first scene that you'll see if you go. We're in the pound, and it's kind of like... it's kind of like they take the mug shots, and then they take pictures of, you know, and we eat. Taylor, do you want to say something?
Help me out here.
The dogs are pretty easy to play, but there's a lot of dancing. That's the challenge.
What's the hardest part to play for you, Taylor?
Probably the sled dog.
Okay. So, when do these all play, and how can folks go and see them?
Well, we are performing at McFeeters Hall next week. We open on Wednesday with The Miracle Worker, 7 p.m. at McFeeters. And then the following day, we have Thursday, May 8th, we have Miracle Worker, Sadako and Danger. Okay. And then also the Littles, the pre-show as well. And then, so they alternate. So there's one evening show, and then another evening show, and then another evening show. So that's Miracle Worker, then Sadako, and then Miracle Worker again that Friday. And then we have a matinee for Sadako and Danger, and then an evening, the Miracle Worker, and then one last matinee for Sadako and Danger.
And all of this is on your website, right?
Yes.
Which, remind me what that is?
TheaterAtLatitude58.com.
Okay, I went there today, and all the dates and times are all sketched out right there.
They're also on our Facebook page.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great.
And tickets are available now, either with cast members at the door or at Hearthside Books.
Okay, everyone, this has been fun meeting and talking to all of you. Have we missed anything? Anything else someone would like to add?
We would love for people to come. We have worked very, very hard on all of these shows, and it has been a complete blast working with this cast.
All good. Well, everyone, thanks again, and good luck with all your performances.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
A bearded old bum. He sold trinkets and trifles, and he lived in a flop house till the end of his days. He'd been on the stage, had once been an actor, but now he sold flowers or gave them away. Just a ragged old man and his ragged old doggy, ragged old life in a ragged old world. Now a lady took a picture to use in a contest of him and his doggy, and it won the first prize. His dog's name was Rag, so she went to find them. By the time that she found them, the old man had died. Just a ragged old man and his ragged old dog. Ragged old life in a ragged old world. Just a ragged old man and his ragged old doggy. Ragged old life in a ragged old of his eyes, were always so gentle, ragged old doggy, ragged old life, in a ragged old world, just a ragged old man, and his ragged old doggy, ragged old life. Up in lights, that's a long way to slide. These trinkets and flowers may buy back his pride, but I don't think these things should offend me or you. This world is a stage, and all I just a ragged old man and his ragged old doggy, a ragged old life in a ragged old world.
Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 29th, 2014, and I have been joined in the studio by Mandy Massey of Glacier Valley Rotary Club. Welcome, Mandy.
Hi, Scott.
Very nice to have you here today. And we've also been joined by Robin Benincasa. Thank you for coming today.
Woo-hoo.
You're the main speaker of Pillars of America coming up tomorrow night, right?
I know. It's actually tomorrow early afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon, that's right.
Yes, very excited.
Okay, so Mandy, why don't you start us off by telling us a little bit about the Rotary Club and then a little bit about the Pillars of America series.
Sure. Juno Glacier Valley Rotary Club is hosting Pillars of America. We're one of three clubs here in Juno. This is our main event of the year where we invite motivational speakers from around the world who have special stories to tell. And we're excited to have Robin tomorrow, and we are also inviting approximately 250 students locally around the middle schools and the high schools, but of course adults are encouraged to come and are welcome.
Great. And just real quick, let's talk about the details of this. It's tomorrow, Wednesday.
Correct. And we're going to let the doors open at 11:15.
Okay.
Come on in early, get in line, get through the doors, and 11:50, we're going to go ahead and get things started with lunch. So lunch is served, and Robin will be come on stage.
Okay, Robin, so you have just come up from California, is that right?
Yep, yesterday.
Well, welcome. What was the weather like in California?
Well, in San Diego, it's very boring, actually. We have no weather. It's just sunny 72, sunny 71. But I actually like a little bit of a change. And as we were flying over, I was thinking how gorgeous it is here and how glad I wasn't out there racing at the moment. Brr.
So tell us a little bit about life in San Diego for you. What keeps you busy?
A lot. I'm actually a San Diego City firefighter for my quote-unquote real job, and I do a good deal of speaking, all about team building, leadership, teamwork that I learned in my sport of adventure racing. And then I'm the founder of a nonprofit called Project Athena, where we help survivors live an adventurous dream as part of their recovery. So it's never the same day twice. You know, a lot going on, but all really, really good stuff.
Wow. So Project Athena, can you give us an example of someone you've worked with and something that they're doing?
Sure. We started 2007. In conjunction with my first hip replacement, because I was trying to find ways to help other women who've had medical or traumatic setbacks live an adventurous dream as part of their recovery. And so it kind of started out being cancer survivors, but since then it's really expanded to kind of survivors of, I mean, even things like one of our recent Athenas is an above-the-knee amputee. We have people who've had various types of injuries, some
some more psychological than physical. But really what we do is we say, you know what, you're a survivor, but you're also an athlete. You're also an adventurer, something else to put on top of that label of survivor to kind of keep people, you know, pushing through their recovery. So, for example, we had a woman run a marathon on the Great Wall of China. Wow. We've trained people for triathlons, even up to Ironman. We sent a woman whose dream was to learn how to surf to a surf camp in Costa Rica. And then, so we've done about 140 so far of these type of adventurous dreams. And we also have a couple things that we've developed that a lot of survivors come on. For example, we do a rim-to-rim trek in the Grand Canyon all the way across one day and all the way back the next day. So it's kind of a great endurance adventure, but doable. And then our other adventure that we do every year is a kayak and bike ride from Key Largo to Key West, 120 miles of kayaking and riding over 3 days. So the survivors come, but also we have fundraisers on each of our adventures as well. So I'll be talking a little bit tomorrow about how people can come on adventures with us, with Project Athena. Or if you know a survivor we can help, go to projectathena.org and apply.
Okay. So firefighter by day and Project Athena, probably a lot of your extra time,
yeah.
If you have that.
It takes a village, yeah.
Right?
It's a team.
And then I also saw you're an adventure racer, an author, one of California's fittest women.
That's totally not true anymore, if it ever was. I do all right, but...
And you have 3 Guinness World Records.
True.
Wow. So tell us what those are in.
Well, after I started having hip replacements, I decided I was going to be a paddler because I always loved the paddling parts of adventure races. So I decided to take a whack. Actually, one of my first big races was a kayak from Whitehorse to Dawson City called the Yukon River Quest. Loved it. 460 miles downriver. Had a lot of time to have very deep thoughts by myself for 51 hours. But I was so excited by the fact that I had a new sport and a new adventure and a new vision and something I could do, even when my hips were not great. I decided to take a whack at some 24-hour records. So at the moment, I have longest distance paddled by a female in 24 hours on flat water. Longest distance paddled by a female in 24 hours on moving water, which I did in the Yukon a few years ago. And then the most recent one was this past November, longest distance paddled on a stand-up board, male or female. But I applied for the women's record, but none of the other men had done it yet. So I guess I'm the record holder at the moment, but we'll see if it stands.
Okay, so a long list of achievements here. What are some things we can expect tomorrow at the talk?
A lot of fun. The presentation is really for everybody who wants to be a better leader, a better builder of teams, which we all are in every aspect of our lives, whether we're just a parent and our team is our family and our spouses, or whether we're in business, or whether it's just being a team builder among our friends or clubs we're involved in. But it's who you bring to the table every day that makes the difference. Your desire to connect, to think as we versus me, to leave your ego at the start line, all those important things that we learned in the sport of adventure racing. So it makes the presentation really fun as I go back and forth from introducing a concept, like one of the 8 essential elements of human synergy, because that's what the presentation's called. It's the 8 essential elements of human synergy. And it's all what we learned in adventure racing. And basically, I go throughout the presentation, I go from developing a concept to then showing a video of an adventure racing team in action.
Oh, fun.
Kind of living that concept. And so you can see in action how, for example, when you leave your ego at the start line, what a difference that makes to the team and to your outcomes. And, I mean, basically, in adventure racing, it's this ultra-distance 6 to 10 day nonstop endurance race where you have teams of 4 or 5 people. You have to have one man and one woman on each team. And they basically just say, we'll meet you in the most remote place that we can find on Earth. Like, we're going to meet you on this high plane in Tibet. And we're going to hand each team a set of maps and a set of road rules. And when we say go, this is a completely nonstop race till you get to the finish line 600 to 1,000 miles away. And it's all like non-motorized transportation. So it's mountain biking, hiking, whitewater rafting, hiking. You got to navigate your own way start to finish. And the only way to keep track of you is at some point you check in, usually through, you know, 3 to 30 checkpoints they'll have out there, just so they know everyone's kind of moving through the course, but there's no set route. Hmm. And there's usually no trails, no set way to do it. It's just whatever you and your team decide. And because it's nonstop in nature, whether you sleep or don't sleep, where, when, how you sleep is a huge, big part of the strategy. Also, teamwork obviously is incredibly important because you have to stay within 50 yards of every single person on the team from start to finish. And if you cross the finish line without even one person, your entire team is disqualified. So really the most important thing we ended up learning out there and how to complete these races was not about being better athletes. It was about being better people and taking care of each other. And so the 8 essential elements is basically what we learned out there about how to really build a world-class team that can get to any difficult finish line.
Was that a hard lesson to learn, to leave the ego at the start line and to work as a team? And if it was hard, how did you do it?
It was very interesting. It was a learned thing for me. When I raced with mostly Americans, it was, in general, a big ego fest. You know, it was nobody wanted to appear weak. No one would accept help. If somebody helped you, they threw it in your face later. And it was tough. But when I kind of wrote a letter to the best team in the world, which was made up of, they were Australians, New Zealanders, Irishmen, you know, some of whom lived here, some of whom still lived, you know, in Australia, New Zealand. But the hallmark of that team, once I got on that team, was that everyone realized they were going to be the strongest link and the weakest link at one point or another. And it was no problem to say, you know, hey, guys, I'm sucking. Would someone take my pack, you know? And we'd all just switch packs around and tow each other. Mm-hmm. And it was strategy. It wasn't weakness. It was strategy. And when I realized, A, it's a much nicer place to be, you know, it's a much nicer environment to be, but B, it won races, you know, that sort of attitude won races. It was really easy. I mean, everyone on the team left their ego at the start line, and we pushed, pulled, tugged, and towed each other every step of the way, physically and emotionally. And from then on, I realized that that was one of the most important factors to success, was having it be okay that you're the weak link and asking for help and accepting help. And that was actually the way to success.
Robin, this sounds really fascinating. I think it's going to be a great talk tomorrow. Mandy, why don't you remind us of the nuts and bolts again, the time, tickets, all that kind of stuff.
Sure. It's not too late to get your tickets for tomorrow's event. You want to go to either location of Hearthside Books, and you can also go to the door. But remember, get there early, get parking, come on in. Doors open at 11:15, and we start the event at 11:50, so don't be late.
And how long will it go?
Probably plan on running a little bit after 1 p.m., 1:15, 1:20.
Okay.
Give yourself some time. This is worth it.
And, Robin, how long are you in town for?
I think another 36 hours.
This
is actually long for me. It's a lot of fun. I hope to get up in the hills out there.
I was going to ask if you have any time for any local adventures.
I hope so.
Well, Robin Benincasa and Mandy Massey, thank you both for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 29th of April, 2014. It's the birthday of the poet C.P. Kavafi, born in Alexandria, Egypt, 1863. Lived in Alexandria almost his entire life, in an apartment just above a brothel, across the street from a church and a hospital. It's the birthday of the editor Robert Gottlieb, born New York City, 1931. In 1957, he was a young editor at Simon & Schuster when the company was in turmoil, nobody seemed to be in charge, and he received a manuscript for a book called Catch 18 by Joseph Heller. Gottlieb thought it was brilliant, and he and Heller went to work on the book. Gottlieb taped pieces of the manuscript and Heller's handwritten notes all over his office walls and desk, rearranging passages of it, One day he heard that the novelist Leon Uris was about to publish a book called Mila 18, and that's how Catch 18 became Catch 22. Came out in 1961, sold more than 1 million copies. Robert Gottlieb, who said, "I have fixed more sentences than most people have read in their lives." It's the birthday of the man who said, "It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing," Duke Ellington, born Edward Kennedy Ellington in Washington, 1899. His father had a well-paid job as a butler. His mother dressed him in fancy clothes, and so the boy's friends gave him the nickname Duke. He taught himself to play the piano. He said, "I never had much interest in the piano until I realized that every time I played, a girl would appear on the piano bench to my left and another to my right." In the 1930s, Ellington's band toured Europe. They were joyfully received in France, the Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, Denmark. His autobiography was Music Is My Mistress, in which he said, "Jazz is a good barometer of freedom. In its beginnings, the United States spawned certain ideals of freedom and independence through which, eventually, jazz was evolved. And the music is so free that many people say it is the only unhampered, unhindered expression of complete freedom yet produced in this country." Here's a poem for today by Scott Owens entitled Rails. Every child should have one, a pair, really, a matched set apart, just the right width, so that one foot pressed against each one leaves you stretched out about as far as you can go, unable to move, feeling almost trapped, almost actually in danger. And every child should walk them as if that's what they were intended for, leading out of town, around the curve, along the river, revealing the backsides of people's homes, clotheslines and refuse, the yards you weren't supposed to see. And every child should learn to balance atop the railhead without the constant unsightly tipping from side to side, should be able to step exactly the distance between the ties, consistently, almost marching without kicking up ballast. And every child should have a bridge they go under to hide and look at dirty magazines and smoke cigarettes and place coins on the rails to flatten and see if this could be the one to cause the train to leap the tracks. And every child should know the lonely, distant sound of late-night travel when bad dreams have kept them awake, wondering where they come from, what they bring or take, and where, when it's all done, they might return and call home. A poem by Scott Owens entitled Rails, from For One Who Knows How to Own Land, published by Future Cycle Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Hi, this is David Woody. I've worked in Southeast for a long time as a logger, a fisherman, a teacher, and a painter. I used the unique perspectives I gained in those lines of work to paint oil narrative paintings and portraits. I'll be discussing and showing my work to a live television studio audience at 360 in the K2 and 360 North building on Thursday, May 1st. Admission is free, doors open at 6:30, and cameras roll at 7. I hope to see you there.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. Scott Burton, your host, in the studio with you today. I have two announcements to make. The Pillars of America speaker series, of course, is tomorrow. We just heard from Robin Benincasa, and they have two tickets they would like to give away. So the first caller who can tell us what Rotary Club, I believe there are three branches here in Juneau, is sponsoring Robin's speech will get two tickets to Wednesday's event. Okay, so that's the first caller. Which Rotary Club is it? Call us at 586-1212. Jeff Brown is standing by to take your call for two tickets to tomorrow's noon event. And also, Christy Chambor would like me to let you know that the K2 auction insert will actually be in the May 9th Juneau Empire. She was on the Juneau Afternoon yesterday and wanted to clarify that, again, the K2 auction insert will be in the May 9th Juneau Empire. And now, in the studio with me, the executive director of Trail Mix, Mr. Eric Boras.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in today. So, it's time for our spring trail update, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let you know what's going on, what we're going to be working on this year.
Can't wait to hear.
The two big projects we'll be working on is the Peterson Lake Trail. We went out there 2 years ago and started on the first 3/4 mile out there. We had some equipment problems last year. That's all fixed up now, and we're going to be coming back this year, and we're going to finish that up. We're going to cap that, and then we're going to continue beyond that with probably get the first mile or so of that hardened up. And it was a real mud hole before then. I don't know if anyone remembers, but Yeah, it was a slog. So we've done a lot of work out there, and look forward to doing a lot more.
Great.
And then the other major project we're working on is the Outer Point Trail, which we also started last year.
And this is the old Outer Point Trail,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, okay. Yeah. So we took up all the boardwalk, and we're replacing it with gravel, and we're making it ADA accessible. Actually, it's just ADA. So we're making it wheelchair accessible down to the water, which is the only trail in Juneau that you can get down to the ocean in a wheelchair. And we'll put a fire pit out there and a wheelchair accessible picnic table, and it should be great. We've been working with Orca on that and the city, and yeah, we're excited to finish that one up.
And that's the new paradigm for Trail Mix, right? Are these gravel trails that I'm seeing rather than boardwalks, right?
Yeah, we're trying to get away from boardwalk. Well, we've completely gotten away from boardwalk. There's a big push to put it in the 80s because it's a very cheap way to build trail very quickly, but it's slippery and dangerous, and it's high maintenance, and yeah, we're trying to, every trail we build now, we hope will be around in 100 years, and it should be. Some of the trails that were, like the Treadwell Ditch that was put in about 100 years ago, most of that is, other than the few washouts and bridges that are gone, that's in good shape still. So we're using that as our model. We want to build things that will be around for a long time, and boardwalk really isn't around for that long.
Sustainability,
right? Uh-huh.
Hey, before we go on with the trail report, in case there's somebody who doesn't know what Trail Mix is, can you tell us a little bit about it?
We're a nonprofit. We're the that builds and maintains trails in Juneau. We're the stewards of Juneau's trails. It's our 21st year. We were started by a group of hiking enthusiasts who realized that there's three land management agencies that have trails in Juneau, the city, the state, and the Forest Service. And they can't really work on each other's lands, but a lot of these trails will cross these things. Like, they'll start on city land, and they'll go to Forest Service land or some combination thereof. So we were started to be able to, we don't care who it is. We're just going to work on it. So we have strong partnerships with all three agencies. We work on all of their trails. And, yeah, we've got a crew of about 8 to 10. They'll be starting up on Monday, and yeah, they'll be out there, these young, strong backs out there moving gravel and cutting trees, and yeah.
Do you just get to a point to where they should take the gravel and do stuff?
I just sit in the office. I don't even do that anymore. I just do grant reporting now. And
all right. Well, Trail Mix, it's a great operation. I personally love what you do, and I know a lot of our listeners do too. All right, so Peterson Lake, Outer Point, what else is going on?
We're going to be working at on the Oliver Inlet Tram over on Admiralty Island. We've been working with State Parks on that. The State Parks Advisory Committee got a chunk of money to work on that, and State Parks has hired us to do it. So if people are not familiar with it, it's a hand tram that was put in the history of areas, but I think it was a CCC project in the 30s, and it's been redone several times since then, and it's like a little train track that has a cart that you can put your kayak on, and it'll take you over the little isthmus into Oliver Inlet. So you don't have to paddle all the way around the Glass Peninsula if you wanted to get down to the Forest Service Bear Viewing area there, or just explore Admiralty. So it's a fun little project. It's all, we're replacing all the pressure-treated wood that was put in the 80s with yellow cedar is coming out of Hoonah, so that's a nice thing to do as well, because that stuff's not leaching into the muskeg, and if people haven't been out there, I highly suggest it. It's a cool little feature in Southeast.
And just a note of caution for anyone, if you've not used that portage and you plan to use it at some time, hold on to your cart.
Yep, I have yard sailed my equipment off of that.
Yep. Keep a hold on the cart.
Uh-huh, yeah.
All right. Great. And what else?
What else? We're going to be on the Lower Montana Creek Trail. We're going to do a few little improvements out there, put a few bridges in where they need to be, probably some old bridges, and we're going to be up at the Treadwell Ditch we're going to do a little bit more work out there this year. But we have very exciting things coming up in the next couple of years for the Treadwell Ditch. We're going to be putting through the city 1% sales tax, we're going to be putting a bridge over Paris Creek, so you'll be able to hike up the Mount Jumbo Trail, technically the Mount Bradley Trail. Hike up that, and you get that crosses the Treadwell Ditch. If you were to head north on that right now, you'd come to a big washout where Paris Creek is, and we'll be putting a bridge over that in the next couple of years.
That's exciting. That's going to be a nice connection there.
Yeah, it's going to be great, because from that point on, we've done all the small connections from Paris Creek all the way up to Gastineau Meadows, up to Blueberry Hills, past Gastineau Meadows. And then we're also working with the Forest Service to put in 3 or 4 bridges over some major drainages on the Forest Service side of things. So a couple of branches of Eagle Creek, Falls Creek, and Nelson Creek, I believe. It's been a while since I've read all those. So those will be going in a year or two, which will improve that section greatly as well. And we're also working with the Forest Service to – there's a temporary reroute that's about 20 years old now, above the Bonnie Bray Trail, the access trail there, that – there's a big kind of slough washout. I don't know how the miners got around it before, but there's not much there now. So people have been heading up into the muskeg to get around it. And with the increased usage that we expect from all the other improvements we're doing, we need to do something about that. So working with the Forest Service to harden that up in the next year or two as well, bring in some gravel and build a decent trail out there. So. Yeah, exciting things coming up in the future.
Yeah, you all are busy.
Yeah, yeah, we're set for a while. Job security, building trails in the rainforest. Always something to do.
And what keeps you all going? You're a membership-based, right?
We are a membership-based organization, so we depend on the community to keep us going. And the best way to help us out, if people are interested in the trails, because I figured pretty much everyone in Juneau is on the trails at some point or another, is to become a member of Trail Mix. You can go to www.junotrails.org to find us. You can just Google Juno Trails, and it will come to us, and you become a member. It's not that much, and you get discounts at our sponsors. You get I think it's 30% off at something, and one item at Foggy Mountain, 20% off of selected items at Nugget Alaska Outfitter. I think it's and like Extra Tufts and Filson and good stuff there. You get 20% off of an item during the winter at Cycle Alaska, I think it's where, and you get some discounts for joining the Alaska Club, the Racket Club. So yeah, membership will pay for itself in no time.
Nice incentives there.
Yeah, JuneTrails.org.
Alaska Brewing's involved.
And Alaska Brewing Company. Yeah, they're every year they sponsor a nonprofit. And the brew crew votes on who that's going to be, and this year we were lucky enough to be chosen, so we're really looking forward to that. All the tips that go into the tip jar at the tasting room go to us, which is great, because it's a fun, like, we can fix our trucks now, and we can pay the rent, things like that.
You're saying that us listeners, we should go to the brewery, free samples, and donate to Trail Mix.
Yep. I'm saying that, it's the most painless way you can donate is you drinking free beer.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's excellent. And we're looking forward to working with the brewery on various events throughout the summer, trying to help out. We worked together a little in the slush cup. That was their thing, and they sold beer that then they gave the proceeds of that to us, and other exciting things that should be coming up. So yeah.
All right. Well, sounds like you're all busy and doing good things here in the community.
Thank you.
If you want to find out more about any of this, it was trailmix.org.
It was Juno Trails.
JunoTrails.org. Please go there. And you can find out what's going on with Trail Mix. You can probably find their phone number to call Eric if you need to know anything.
790-6406.
All right. Eric, anything else you'd like to add?
Thanks for having us on. You guys do great work as well. I like the nonprofits helping nonprofits. It's a great thing about our community here.
Sounds good. Thanks, Eric.
All right. Thank you.
Chopping with a knife, I've been washing dishes all of my life. I'm working in the morning, in the afternoon, bringing in the harvest underneath the moon. I got two hands and a back that's strong. I put them in the river, sing a working man's song. I've been working since the dawn of time. Everybody working is a friend of mine. I'm working with a hammer, I'm working with a saw. I'm working in the library, reading the law. And fans finish up a job and starting again. Kiss my woman goodbye. I'll be leaving soon. Working at a square dance, playing fiddle tunes. I'm a working on a big rig, hands on a wheel, loading up a trailer with a sweet dozen.
Tonight on 360 North at 8, Faces of Alaska profiles Sea Alaska Heritage Institute CEO Rosita Wuerl. Native Report is next at 8:30. At 9, on Independent Lens, We Still Live Here, the Wampanoag people of Massachusetts are reviving their language more than a century after the last native speaker died. And at 10, Bitter Seeds visits India to explore the controversy over genetically modified crops. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. Your host, Scott Burton, in the studio with you now. I'm lucky enough to have JDHS Assistant Principal Christy Germain in the studio. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you.
So nice to have you. And also JPD Officer Blaine Hatch. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So you two are here to talk about a parent forum on current drug topics.
That's right, and this will actually be tomorrow night, Wednesday the 30th, at JDHS in the Commons. And what we'll have, it is starting at 5 o'clock, and Officer Hatch will be able to give a presentation that he's prepared, and I'll let him mention that. But we really are inviting all parents and community members who are interested, and it is probably geared more closely to parents of middle school and high school students, but all are welcome.
Okay. Yeah, and also we partner with Juno Youth Services, and the Youth Court will be down there also as a resource. And we're going to basically discuss the trends that we're seeing with the youth, and also just the current drug activity in Juno, what to look for, different signs in the body, and what we're seeing, so parents can kind of, you know, be aware.
Okay. Can you give us a little preview of some things that you are seeing and we should be aware of?
Yeah. Basically, we're going to talk a lot about synthetics, synthetic illicit drugs, which are a big, huge issue right now. We're going to talk about topics like spice, what it really is, how it can affect the body, those types of things. I don't want to say too much on the air, but certain drug mixtures that we're seeing that kids are minimizing because it seems fun. And we're going to talk about how it's publicized on, basically in songs and music that everybody listens to. And I want parents to understand what those terms are that the kids are listening to.
Wow. Yeah.
You know,
get to know the vocabulary.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, knowledge is power. And we just want to present what's there because we are having an issue with these kinds of topics, and it's affecting everybody across the board.
I bet. And how about at the high school? What are you seeing over there? Are you seeing signs of anything? Are you hearing new vocabulary? Christy, is it...
You know, I think ongoing, all across the country, schools have students who interact with alcohol or marijuana, and then other synthetics that's coming on the scene, really something we as adults aren't as aware of.
Right.
And the way this forum came about was actually concerns from our parent group at JDHS and then also our site council, just that parents want to be informed.
Right.
They want to know what's happening. They requested that JPD be involved, just so they're aware, they know what to look for, and to understand the references that are out there.
Okay. So this is going to be tomorrow in the JDHS Commons, and that's, I think everyone knows, it's Juno Douglas High School, not far out of downtown, and it's going to be from 5 to 7. And remind me again who your sort of your target demographic is.
So really parents and community members, and ideally the secondary students. Certainly if they have younger kids and they'd also like to come, things to look at, that's great. But ideally our high school students and middle school students and their parents coming.
Okay, and did you say you're going to show a video, Officer Hatch?
I've got a presentation I put together, and I also have some displays that I'll bring down and show the parents so that you know they can also see visually what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this sounds interesting, and thank you, too, for putting this together.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Yeah. Anything else that you'd like to add?
You know, just again, that everyone is welcome, okay. And there'll be some time at the end to ask some questions and have almost some roundtable discussions of things that people are seeing, and also things that are out there that parents have done. So checking in with their students on cell phone, checking in, knowing where they are, knowing where they're spending the night. You know, if students are going camping, if they're really going camping, all of those things that parents can do to be proactive and to show that they care about their child and their child's safety.
Okay. And this is from 5 to 7 tomorrow at the JDHS Commons. If somebody wanted more information tomorrow, who could they call?
So they could contact JDHS,
okay.
523-1501.
All right. Well, Assistant Principal Christy Germain and Officer Blaine Hatch, thank you both for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Gordon was a good friend of mine. We spent a lot of time making music together. He was one of the best blues musicians I've ever had the honor of playing music with. Gordon started smoking at the age of 14. After he served in the military, he played music in many smoke-filled bars. There would be times he couldn't even get through a full song because he couldn't catch his breath. Gordon died of emphysema in 2010 at the age of 57. Don't let tobacco take away what you love the most. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW and get the life-saving help you deserve.
Brought to you by a partnership for Smoke-Free Southeast.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juno, KTOO is on GCI Cable, on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon here today on Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. Tomorrow, your host will be Ken Fix, and we'll talk with Philip Crowder about the Juno Dance Theater's new production, Ballet to Broadway. We'll learn about the new chapter of The Daughters of American Revolution with guest Regina Falici. We'll find out about the selection process for the position of the conductor of the Juno Symphony. David Woody will be here with me to highlight Thursday's Arts at 360 recording. It'll be fun to talk to Ken about that. And we'll talk about Canvas art classes with Chris Taylor. If you miss a Juno afternoon or want to listen again, you can catch it in other local, statewide, national, and international news here at KTOO.org. The weather tonight looks mostly cloudy with a chance of rain. Lows around 37, southeast winds 5 miles per hour, shifting to the northwest late. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, highs around 55, northeast winds 10 miles per hour. On Thursday, partly cloudy, highs around 61, northeast wind 10 to 20. Looks like it's clearing up going into the weekend. Tune in tomorrow for a Juno afternoon. Stand by for All Things Considered.